Had that happen here before, but it's called balking in baseball, where they've given me a false sense of that I'm supposed to get up. Hey, aren't you thankful we can have fun and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ today? I think He wants us to have fun, and I'll tell you what, I still am having fun, and I hope you are too. I want to welcome you to services today. It's a great day to praise God. Every day is the Lord's day, I want to tell you that. It's not just the first day of the week. He wants to be preeminent in our lives each and every day. He's here to bless us. He loves us dearly. So let's stand this morning. Welcome to one and all. We'll talk about that a little more later, but we're going to open our hymnals this morning, or it's on the screen. We're going to sing about the central focus of all history, which is the cross where Christ died for our sins. 132, the old rugged cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. To the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, shame and reproach gladly bear. Then He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the cross, the old rugged cross, till my throne at last I lay down. I will cling to the cross, the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. Amen. Thank you so much. Once again, welcome to everyone. Let's remain standing, and we're going to have our invocation. Our Heavenly Father, we come today and approach Your throne in a heart of humility and humbleness. We realize today that even though everything is under your care and under your authority, we're humbled and we're caused to be, Lord, thankful and just overwhelmed by your love and mercy and grace that's been shed upon us through that work on Calvary's cross, when you sacrificed in our place your precious Son, Jesus Christ. But we're so thankful, Lord, not only for what he did in his death and the shedding of his blood to cover our sin, but we're excited, Lord, because of the resurrection power that was given on the third day from death and the forces of sin. And so today, Lord, that's why the church exists, to proclaim your love to mankind and to recall, again, that the program is not over for those who have trusted in you, but wonderful things yet lie in store because of your love for us and your forgiveness and the past that you gave us through your Son taking the penalty in our place on that cross. So, Lord, we're thankful for that central focus of all history. Help us today to give you thanks. And, Lord, thanks to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to die for our sins and rose again. Lord, we're thankful for everyone that's come out this morning to worship you. We pray, Lord, that you would be working in our hearts this morning to transform us, to change us, that we would not leave this place as we have entered it. But, Lord, that you would deal with us in the way that you would have through the power of the Spirit and the preaching of the Word. We acknowledge today, Lord, we have been through quite a battle here at Fruitland with the COVID over the last few months. And we're thankful today, Lord, to see even more people back and some visitors. And we're always thankful, Lord, for everyone that walks through those doors. I just pray that you would reinvigorate this church, Lord, and that we would be a proactive force in our area to reach out to people with your love and with your forgiveness. Now, Lord, we know there are many needs in our congregation, many needs in our community, and we know that you are the God who can supply the needs to the answers to those needs. And so we trust you for that, Lord, but we acknowledge today that many people are apart from you and are lost in this world. Oh, Lord, I pray you as the great shepherd would draw them back into your arm, those wayward lambs, and Lord, this would be a day for renewal in your flock. So, Lord, may you be pleased and blessed at what takes here, and we ask you to bless us as well, Lord, in our time together this morning. And all these things are brought to the throne in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Want to again be sure to welcome everyone that's here today. We're always glad for people. That's why we exist. That's why Christ loves us. He's the one that created us. He's also the one that redeems us, and he's interested in people. So this morning, we still are having a little bit of a condensed service from what we normally would have. But I'd like to direct your attention over to the bulletins that you have or on the screen and some announcements that we have. There's a few extra things that we want to make known today. But to begin with, tonight we're going to have our quarterly business meeting. For those of you that may be visiting with us or new to Fruitland, this is a congregationally governed church. And so I don't run the church. We hope that the Lord runs it. He will if we'll let him. But this church operates on the will of the people under the authority of God. I also invite you to come to one of our business meetings and to see what takes place here, just so that you know they are open, and we want you to be sure to do that. I had here written, just for some fun, I said, bring your nun checks, your brass knuckles, and some chain. No, we don't get that carried away. But we invite you to come tonight. There will be a devotional, but that's how we operate, and we're glad to have folks here to investigate that if you're interested. Our next women's Bible study will be October 23rd. There is no personal evangelism this coming Tuesday. That will be on the 26th again for everyone who's interested, and meet at 6 o'clock for a time of prayer, and then we go out our separate ways or in small groups and talk with people and visit with people. Maybe write your neighbor, anyone that God has laid on your heart. I can't always go with everyone, but I'm willing to go with those that I can. And I want to be an encouragement for all of us, including myself, in those type of situations. Let's see. Oh, I want to be sure that we invite people to Sunday school and church. Make it a point this week to invite someone. We do have Sunday school classes for everyone. I didn't happen to have any junior, senior hires today, but we do have a class for every age, and we want to be sure to not neglect that advantage that we have during that hour. There's a ladies' retreat November 6th at Walnut Park Baptist Church, 8:30 to 3. Also, a bonfire fellowship will be on October 30th, Lord willing, at 6 p.m. Bill, did you get that checked with the park? Or? Okay. We'll have more updates, but just pencil that in tentatively at least. If we don't have it at the park, we'll have it here at the church. And that'll be an outdoor event. Bring your own food, your own utensils, and that way there'll be no contamination of anything. And bring a mask if you're going to get close, but I think we can socially distance pretty well at that event. Also, family chat night. This is not in the bulletin, but this will be on October 31st in the evening on Sunday. What a family chat is, we are the family of God, those of us here that, at least that are believers. We sit down a couple times a year and just talk about things like you do as a family. We don't have a fireplace, but I can get an electric heater if it'll make you feel better and put up front. But just come and we just talk about the future of the church, what we think would be an improvement. It's not a business meeting. There's no business conducted, but a chat. And you might even want to chew me out, you know. But I appreciate if you would be kind and gentle like I would be. But that's an opportunity to talk about what you think, like a family does. Also, the drama team, those that are interested in drama team, meet next Sunday at 5 o'clock here at the church. We want to attempt to get something online here yet this year. And we want to use that as an opportunity as well to make a little variety, but also to present the Word of God in another way. So we're excited about that. I think I've got everything covered here. Is there any other things that we need to announce that we're deficient on this morning? Well, then at this time, we're going to go to prayer. We do not pass a plate here during COVID. By the way, we are not here to ask people for money. We exist today by God's grace through the benevolence of people that are led to give. And so we never make that an issue here at Fruitland. We just trust God. And he's kept the doors open wondrously and miraculously. But as you're led to give, the Bible does talk about that. We do preach on that occasionally. But this is an opportunity to give when we gather again to worship. And there are plates on the back table as you're led. Also then, at this time, as the ladies pray, after I've prayed a little bit of a corporate prayer here today, we'll have a time that we can meditate just for a few moments before we go into the preaching of the Word of God. I want to just tell you again how glad I am to see a nice group out this morning. Welcome to one and all. You're always welcome here. And we trust that this will be a good experience today as we open the Word of Truth before us this day. So shall we go to prayer? Unless there's something I've neglected here this morning. Yes, Matt. Okay, you heard the word. All right. Maybe he's going to invite us over for a meal.
Yes.
We'll find a way to get there, Matt.
Yes, we will.
All right, thank you, Matt. Let's go to prayer this morning. Father, again, we approach your throne today on the basis and merits of your Son, Jesus Christ. And today, Lord, I realize that all of our hearts here today have concerns and cares. There's not a person here, Lord, that is not suffering from something in their life where we, again, are needy before your throne. I know, Lord, today there are people that have heartaches, there are people that have grief in their life today over lost loved ones. Lord, maybe over a wayward child or a situation in their family, maybe a home that is in chaos or a marriage that's on the rocks. Lord, we know that there are people driving by here today that are facing all those different things. And yet, Lord, today, when we're gathered and you're present here with us, there are answers and there is hope. And I thank you today that you're the God of all hope. Lord, none of us need to go into despair, but just simply to trust you for all things and obey your word. Lord, you have your hand upon us, and I thank you for that. Thank you now, Lord, as we still have people that, well, we have people that have recovered, at least in part, from the COVID outbreak. And yet, Lord, there are several of our number who still are ailing. And we know, Lord, that they have improved, and we give you thanks and praise for that. But we ask, Lord, that in your time and will, you might grant them a full recovery. Lord, there may be also people here today that are angry. Maybe some that are angry with you. We know out in our world that's certainly the case. And others, Lord, that are resistant today. They are resistant from maybe many reasons that Satan has given to them to not be involved with a local church. But I pray today, Lord, there'd be a great movement in our community, in our families, and in our own lives, that we would be drawn closer to you. Now, Lord, we have an opportunity to give back to you. You don't put the strong arm on us or force us, Lord, but you, as you cause us to reflect on our situations, Lord, you've been so good to all of us. Thank you for the sources of income that we have, our jobs and so forth, Lord. In all things, your hand of grace is displayed so wondrously to us. Now, I do pray, Lord, that the gifts would be given hilariously, cheerfully, Lord, and from the heart, with a heart that says, Lord, I want this to go back to you, what you've given to me, and acknowledge that. So, Father, I pray you'd bless both the gift and the giver today, and I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, ladies. It's a wonderful thought there and a wonderful prayer. Just a closer walk with thee. Well, as always, it's a treat to be with you folks. Kim and I did enjoy a day and a part of some travel and vacation into the great city of Chicago. And as always, the train was a good ride. Got to visit with quite a few people and enjoyed some time with our family there. And thank you for that benevolence to allow us to do that. But it's always good to be back here and in the saddle, so to speak, if you want to call the pulpit that, but it really is not a saddle. It's a privilege to be able to open God's Word and to address you folks. I do love you folks, and it is always a great day. And hasn't God given us a wonderful day today? Oh, yeah. No excuses, you know. It's very good. And yet we know there are people that are experiencing difficulties today. One thing we know about Fruitland Baptist Church historically, I think Fruitland has tried very hard over the years to practice Ephesians 4:15, which is summed up in speaking the truth in love. And so for the last several weeks, I've been doing a series on basics of the Christian faith. And I won't recap all that this morning, but today the Spirit has led me to go into the basic doctrines of the Christian faith. Now, I'm going to use some terms there that maybe we don't use every day, but if you want to know what that word doctrine means, it just means truths. Bedrock truths of the Christian faith. And I've narrowed those down to seven. And this is from my approach to bringing this message. I also want to tell you today, I want someone to set the timer at about 11:30 today. I want someone to flag me down. Because the next couple of Sundays are going to be payback Sundays. Yes, I did have a grin, but this is all for the benefit of the congregation. We're going to quit at 25 till because I've held you over a few times lately by 5 or 8 minutes. So we got to balance this out and keep everything right, right? Unless I'm on an important point, then I may take the liberty to take some overtime. I'm having fun, but seriously, we're going to try to do that for a few Sundays. I'd almost guarantee we'll never get through this today. Do you think that's probably right? Yeah. But I do want you to pray as a congregation, you know, that maybe we need to extend our services into like 3-hour preaching events. I visited with someone recently that did attend a church that was of a different ethnicity, and they went on. It got to be 3 p.m, and they got up to leave. But I do respect time. But I think that God doesn't necessarily want us to get at everything in one fell swoop. Bible says what? Line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here a little, there a little. But today I hope to deliver some richness from God's Word. As I was saying earlier, sometimes the things that I preach here are controversial, but as best as possible, they are biblically based, and I'm always open for your input and discussion. And the suggestion box, I haven't checked it for a while. Maybe someone needs to. But anyway, today, the basic doctrines, it's out in the back foyer in case you wondered. Sometimes I'm afraid to check it. I'm afraid of what it could say. But thank you for putting up with my wife and I all these years. And I do believe that even though the ministry, the office of pastor, I believe, is given to the male gender, if you don't have a wife that's right behind you in the ministry, you're going to be in big trouble. And so I thank you for Kim, Lord. Anyway, with that said, let's go to prayer and we'll hit the ground running, okay? Father God, I just come today humbly before your throne. I ask that you would empower my speaking with the Spirit, that you'd anoint my lips, Lord. Overcome the frailties, but also, Lord, these folks understand I'm just a real person. And I'm not a proficient speaker or an elaborate person, but I just want to come here and serve you today, Lord. Some of the things I'm going to say today might be controversial to some people. But Lord, the best that I can, I want to illustrate, again, the clearness and the fact that you do not give us a message of religion or faulty rawl, but you have a straightforward message to us. And these seven basic core doctrines of the Scripture are essential to salvation. I believe this with all my heart, Lord, that if we leave one or more of these out, if there's a life here today that has, they are not heaven-bound, because these are all things that must be accepted when we think about you. You are an awesome God, Lord Jesus. You are God. That's what you said in John 10:30. I and my Father are one. So, Lord, you're our next-door friend and our neighbor, but you're also Almighty God. And what a real privilege that is, Lord, to be in a personal walk with you, the creator of the universe. So, Lord, may you bless our time today. Father, again, help this feeble speaker. And, Lord, may you be glorified and honored this day. Now, Lord, I do pray for the Spirit to take control of the lives here today. And, Lord, if there's a situation that you bring up to people, may they care for it this day. Lord, this is a day to throw our pride aside and to get straight with you. And so I pray that that will be the end today, Lord, and what we accomplish. And I give this over now for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, as always, when I put these messages together, I have to do a little reading. I do like stump speaking, but I find as I get more aged that it gets harder to get everything accomplished. I have to write things down. Any of the rest of you in that situation in your lives these days? You know, I'm a big believer in these little 3x5 cards. I always keep a pocket full of them. Kim bought me a shirt one time with no pockets. I said, this isn't going to fly because I need these cards. It helps us as we get a little more along the line to remember things. And so I need to always look at my notes. But please put up with this. But my friends in Jesus Christ, as we continue on in our examination of the basics of the Christian faith, it is vital that a core group of doctrines be accepted to be able to take advantage of the core message of God to humanity of his what? His love for the race and the ability to have real and close fellowship with our Maker. So these are critical things today, basic things of the Christian faith. A failure to accept one or more of these core doctrines essentially means that you will not be a recipient of the benefits. We hear a lot about that today, don't we? But you will not be a recipient of the benefits that God has ordained until your eyes have been opened to the core package of truth about yourself and the God of the Bible. There are many pseudo-look-alike Christian-based religions. Do we agree on that, everyone, this morning? You better be very careful what you accept, hook, line, and sinker. And as I've always said, this is the book that explains that. It's not Pastor John that explains it. I will try to explain it, but you need to be investigating what God's Word says. What really is truth? And I'm going to say this morning. The Bible is objective truth. It cannot be disproven. It has stood the test of time. And it's the basis. So as I've always said, I don't endorse any pastors, including myself. It's all of our responsibilities to check what is said, what is taught, what's out there today in our culture, against what's known as God's Word, the Bible. Now I got to find my place here again. See, when I get too riled up. Yeah, there's many pseudo look-alike Christian-based religions, but only one genuine biblical Christian faith. We are not involved in religion here at Fruitland Baptist Church. If you're a born-again believer, you are involved in a living relationship with Jesus Christ. There is nothing dogmatic about that. It's vibrant. It's exciting every day. How many of you are excited today about your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. I'm glad to see that response today. So let's look at just one example of many that I could refer to. And here it is, folks. You cannot be a Bible-believing, born-again believer if you deny the virgin birth of Christ. That's one of the things we'll look at as we go through this list. But there are reasons why that is, and I'll explain them to you. Because of the fact that if Jesus were not brought to this earth as the sinless God-man in the manner the Bible teaches, you are not a born-again, saved Christian and headed for heaven because you don't understand who Jesus is, and therefore, if it even could be possible, you have denied or disbelieve what God says, and therefore the whole package is subject to subjective authority. In other words, what I'm trying to say here in all my writing is that if we don't take the Bible as a core book of truth, and we deny one or more of the basic tenets of the Christian faith, folks, none of it is reliable. Because if you can't believe one, you can't believe the other, because everything that God does is superhuman. It's supernatural. It transcends anything our feeble, finite minds can grasp. None of the things of these core doctrines seems plausible in our humanity. But my friends, through the act of Almighty God, they are indeed possible, because as we're taught with God, what? All things are possible. Now I've got to find my place here again. Oh boy, now I'm going to get in a lot of trouble this morning, but I'm going to tell it like it is, folks. This goes out over the airwaves. I may not be back here tonight. I'm going to talk about a couple of false teachers. Some of you may not like what you're going to hear here, but this is not about them this morning. We're going to go right back into the Word of God. But I'm going to tell it like it is today, folks. A man named Martin Luther King Jr. is hailed in our culture today as a great Christian leader. He may have been a great movement leader in civil rights. We cannot deny that. But my friends, he was not a Christian. And you're saying, boy, Pastor John, you're pretty judgmental. Well, I'm only going by, again, facts. And I want to state some of those to you today. He's hailed as a great Christian, yet he denied the doctrine of Jesus as the Son of God, the virgin birth of Christ, the bodily resurrection. He called those untenable, or in other words, unbelievable, in a paper that he wrote at his theological seminary. He was a reverend, called a pastor, but the fact of the matter is, he never did repudiate that he denied those key doctrines and more of the Christian faith. You can look in those records, and that's a fact. You can check it on your phone right now if you want to dig deep enough. And check it out. But folks, I want to tell you, even though people may be great humanitarians, unless they have the biblical view of God and have seen that come into their lives, they will not reach the courts of heaven. I'm going to name another name that's very popular in Christian circles. I even hear his name mentioned in evangelical circles. And that's another man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Some of you may be fans of his. I believe he did a lot of good things in Nazi Germany. But my friends, he is not a Bible-believing Christian. And some of the things about Dietrich Bonhoeffer are the fact that he denied the inerrancy of Scripture, meaning he did not believe what the Bible said. These are facts. You can research these types of things in their lives. He did not believe in Christ as the substitutionary atonement for our sins. I want to caution us all, I'm not just picking on those two persons, but they are famous people that are readily accepted in many evangelical circles. But I'm telling you the truth this morning, and what I want you to be very careful of is everything you watch on TV, everything you see at Fruitland Baptist Church, Any place you go, don't be like a fish that sees a worm dangled in front of you and bite it, but check it. Because the truth is there if we're willing to search for it. There are many false teachers. And let me just say this, if it's the same way with teachers. If the teachers teach falsely, that's where they stand. Interestingly enough, I'm not here to brag, but if you're any of you are interested in my doctrinal statement and where I stand on things, you can go right on our website. Every bit of that's published. It's open. And that's what we need to do with everything that goes on. We need to check it carefully. Well, enough of what I've got to say. Let's look into the Bible. Now, again, we'll be done a little early today. We'll get where we get. And, Kim, we won't have a fit. There are no fits allowed at Fruitland Baptist Church this morning. Okay? So let's take our Bibles or your devices, whatever you may have today. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to be poking around here in 1 John just for a few minutes before we get into the core of the message, okay? Now, I shouldn't say okay. I should say we're going to be doing this. Here it is. Let's look at verses 22 and 23 just to start out today. And this is what I'm getting at about these basic core doctrines of genuine Christian faith. Verse 22, the Apostle John writes the following. He says, this is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 22. I encourage you, by the way, to read, starting with verse 18, right on up through about chapter 4, verse 6. But we're going to look at parts of this morning. And here it is, 1 John 2, verses 22 through 23. John writes, "Who is a liar but he that, read it to me, class, denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" Christ means God's anointed. The one that God had sent for the redemption of mankind. Notice here, by the way, was the Apostle John soft on words? No, because he wanted to do what? He wanted to dispel the false teaching. He wanted to tell the truths here. This was given under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And here's what he says. He is an... What's it mean to be an antichrist? Now, we think oftentimes about what is told us that will occur in the tribulation period where the Antichrist will be raised to power. Antichrist just simply means against Christ. That is one of the Antichrist. It is an important figure, but folks, let me tell you, from the days of the Apostle John, from the days even in the Garden of Eden when the serpent, and Satan in the form of the serpent got involved, the spirit of Antichrist has existed and it exists to this very day. Amen? In many ways, shapes, and forms. We have an adversary that's out there to try to muddy the waters, to try to mix people up. But the Apostle John told it just like it is. He said on this key doctrine of who Jesus is, he says that if we deny who he is, it's the spirit of Antichrist. Verse 23, "Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the..." Yeah, and there's a reason for that, because John 10:30 records that Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." We're going to talk about how that all works, the mechanics of it, how it fits together as we go through these doctrines. "He who denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father." And this is in italics. This is not from the original Greek. "But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." But that's implied, and it's put in there in italics in your Bible. It's not from Holy Writ, from the text, the original text. But it implies that very factor. You can't have one without the other. Wasn't there a song about that back in the 40s or something like that? Love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. How's the rest of that go? Da, 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 da. You can't have one without the other. You got the point, though, right? Now, look again in your Bibles. Let's go to chapter 2 down to... if you back up to 18, just go to 18 in that same chapter. John writes, "Little children, it is the what?" How long ago did John write this book? 1900 plus years ago. We've been living in the late days. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ His return for the church and his coming at the end of the tribulation period is nearer every day. And folks, we're at least almost 2,000 years closer to that point than when John wrote it. But John said, little children, he said, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Isn't that the truth today? You better be careful where you go for your information, because there's a lot of false stuff floating around out there. Enough said about that for now. Let's go to specifically to 1 John 3:23, and then we're going to look at chapter 4, 1 through 6. 1 John 3:23, one chapter over. I want you to read this whole text when you have opportunity. And here it is. These are core things that we have to look at about truth speaking. John writes this. He says, and this is his commandment, that we should what? Believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. And so we covered that in the past few weeks. That's how we're saved, by believing on Jesus Christ, that he was God, that he came to die for us. And we worked through all that he rose again. He's the propitiation for our sins, the wrath-removing sacrifice that God has given. That's who Jesus was. And, of course, we should follow his commandments. Now, I'd like to direct us over to chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And again, this whole text in 1 John, he writes extensively about this. But we'll get into some of the core of this as we move on. Here's the mechanics of this put on 2 feet, as I like to say. Verse 1 of chapter 4, beloved, believe not what? But what? Try the spirits. How do we try the spirits? We try them against the Word of God. We proof test what's being said against what God's holy Word says. We'll be getting to one of these points later, the Bible. That is one of the basics. To be saved, we have to believe what the Bible says. We must believe in the core doctrines, the doctrines that are given in the Bible. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they what? Are of God. Because what? Many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. John gives us some of these tests here. I've mentioned this many times in preaching, and as I've thought about this. But you know something, folks? Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, if you talk to any given person, you'll find out where they stand about who he was. When you begin to talk about Jesus Christ, those that want nothing to do with him will soon be passed away from your sight unless the Holy Spirit's working in their heart and they begin to want to ask questions. But most of them, when you mention Jesus, they're either gone or what? You know it yourself, even up in Chicago. Kim, we had a real neat cab driver. I usually drop a little line in the water. Yes, by the way, there are very few cabs left in Chicago. Most everyone has gone to what? Uber, so on and so forth. But you know, Kim and I are somewhat old-fashioned. And I just like the opportunity to visit, too. But we didn't hail it. There was a nice gentleman, opened the door for Kim and everything. Said, hop in, ma'am, at Union Station. And anyway, we got going and what does everyone talk about when you see someone that you don't know? Autumn. It was a beautiful day in Chicago. I said, this is a wonderful day. By the way, Chicago on a Friday, the downtown is dead. Kim said, it's like there's a depression. Now, it's not so much that way when you get out of the downtown. But folks, we went up on the old Burlington Railroad, the BNSF, on Amtrak. But, you know, the commuter trains that go between Aurora and Chicago. There, I noticed every commuter train only had 4 cars. And, you know, there's no one going into the city to work anymore. So what used to be hustle and bustle in downtown Chicago with offices and so forth, Sandra, you know this, everyone's at home, aren't they, doing their, most people. That downtown is like a ghost town. Anyway, visited with the cabbie a little bit, and of course, didn't I say something, in fact, you know, God sure has given us a beautiful day, and he's in control, and I could tell, yeah. So came time to pay the bill, and I said, well, what do I owe you? And I don't remember how that all that dialogue went. He said, well, I could use a $500 tip today. I said, well, I don't think that's going to be possible, but I gave him a very generous tip. And I gave him, see, I carry a lot of stuff in this pocket. I gave him this. Who is Jesus? And so we were briefly able to describe our faith. He said, I'm a believer. You know, he said, what a blessed day this is. Especially to haul some people from Iowa, right? But you know what? There's opportunities galore out there if we'll take it with people. But the cities and so forth, I don't even know what I was trying to say here. Kim, do you remember? See, this is what happens to me. But, you know, we're living in a day-to-day when, oh, it's about the name of Jesus. You'll know. People are either going to be yes, and they'll be receptive, or it's going to be no. Jesus is the name that, it's the name, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? It's a name above all names. You'll find out where people are at real closely when you talk about the Lord. Anyway, where did I leave off here? Three. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are not of the world, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Our message, Jesus' message, is not popular in the world. Mankind wants to believe in itself. Satan has deluded their thinking. Verse 6, we are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Folks, you need to read this whole text, but the fact of the matter is, truth revolves around God's word and the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's exclusive. It's Jesus Christ, my friends. And that is the message that we've been given. Be very careful where you go and what you do today. I just pray this morning that no one here has been misled, and that is why I bring this basic message. You know, much of the church today doesn't want to teach these kind of things because they can be controversial. Some of the things I've said already this morning might be controversial to someone, but I challenge you to check it out. It's not that we don't love people. It's not that God doesn't love or didn't love Dr. Martin Luther King or Dietrich Bonhoeffer or a whole host of other people. But the fact of the matter is, Satan worked through them, and many people are deceived. Many people today have been headed towards eternity in hell because of the wrong teaching of the Scriptures at the behest of Satan. I'll just say this, and then we're going to go to the doctrines. How much time do we have left? Oh, I have a clock right in front of me here. You know, the Bible says we're without excuse. We've still got a few minutes here to go. But think about this. This is just something I wrote down, and you pay me to do this. So here it is. A house missing half of its floor joists. We've got several carpenters here and construction people. A house missing half of its floor joists. Looks like a house, but is it technically a house? But it's not technically a house because it lacks the complete elements of a functional house. And folks, that's what we have running around a lot today. People think they're on the right track. They think that they're a genuine Christian, but they're far from it. And a miss is what? As good as a mile. Don't ever forget that. We need to be right where we need to be with the Lord. All right, enough of this. Oh, I wrote more here. By the way, this is a five-pager today. We're just finished with page one. Amen. For the purpose of our message today, I have chosen seven basic doctrines that are core to genuine Christian faith. They could be simplified or expanded. I know that someone's going to come up and say, well, John, I think it could, because there's as many as 12 to 13 in theological circles, okay? But just remember, again, the complaint department is closed today. So you'll have to find when it's open, and we don't publicize those hours. They could be simplified or expanded upon and yet accurate, but this is how I have chosen to present them. Denial of one or more of these undermines the package of faith and thusly salvation.
just like I mentioned about the house. For example, if you deny the biblical account of creation, why could you trust the biblical account of the resurrection? We'll look at all that as we go through these. And if that is the case, my friends, sadly, it is very likely you have not been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because it's a package deal. You see, it all is interlocked, just like the properly constructed house. Okay? So, let's begin where we need to begin with point number one. Do you have a sheet this morning? Does anyone need a sheet? Okay, you should have had one in your bulletin. Jane, you don't have one.
Oh,
okay. And I did this on the economy side this week because you can write down some of these references I give you. I think I've been giving out too many references. It's good to write some of these things down. Right, Denny? Writing with a pencil or pen, yeah. Or if you have your device, you know, typing it in. Here's point number one. The existence and reality of the triune God of the Bible. The existence and reality of the triune God of the Bible. By the way, to an extent, I tried to put these together in the order. Because if you don't believe that God's the creator, you're not going to be able to believe the rest of these things. By faith. But let me just say this before I start yammering further. Well, now I forgot what I was going to say. I'm allowed that as a senior, you know, senior moment. Anyway, Genesis 1:1, let's say it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. By the way, if you wonder what the word Genesis means, it means beginnings. Isn't that ironic that it's the first book in the Bible? God tells you everything, folks. I'll clarify that, though, with what we need to know, right? He hasn't told us everything, but he's told us everything we need to know. And he tells us from the beginning to the ending. Now, he has not told us how, and there won't be a measure of time in eternity future, because time has a concept that goes along with our sin to an extent. So, in other words, we can't say, well, 50 years into eternity future is a certain reference point. God does not tell us those things. But he tells us everything from the creation and before in the part that where he says he's always existed. That's what I'm getting at here today. But he tells us there is a what? An eternity future for the believers. That will be in a new heavens and a new earth for what? Forever. We can't wrap our minds around that because we have a finite mind in this broken world. But God's told us the whole story. And you know what? He tells us our story. Because our situations are all, it's like a mirror. When we look into the Word of God, we say, yep, that's me. And therefore, I know the beginning to the end where I need to know, and God has showed that to me very, very plainly. So Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Here it is, folks. God always has existed. And you say, how do you know this? He tells us in his word. Let me just say this. If you really dig into the word of God, and I encourage everyone here, if you have a smartphone or a device, you have so much power in your hands. You can look up a thing called a lexicon or a concordance. You can look up an old favorite, Strong's Concordance. It will give you every word in the Bible, the original language, and the meaning of it. Strong's Concordance is a good one. You can download that on Bible. You don't even have to download it. You can just go to Bible Hub. It'll give you all this stuff. The tools you have, or you can do like I do, even though I've changed a lot. Mike, you wouldn't believe how much more modern I've gotten. I have an old Strong, or I think I've given one away. I have some Strong concordances that are worn out. But now when I want to look up a word, I go to my device. Lots quicker, lots easier. Okay? But you can have a paper concordance. They are still available. They're pricey. Usually when I go to a Christian bookstore, if I see one, I'll grab them. They're usually, you know, given away. They don't want them. They're a heavy book. It'll help you build your strength, let me tell you. Lifting it and opening it. In the beginning, God. And what that tells us is that he always existed. He was there. That's one of the big questions people, well, where'd God come from? He didn't come from anywhere. He's always been. That's what the Bible teaches us. It's that simple. You either are going to believe that or you won't. But if you're struggling with it, look at the rest of the book. It'll all fit together, forwards to backwards, backwards to forwards. The God of the Bible has always existed. There is nothing else that's existed like that. He's unique. He's unique. Now, that word God, in the beginning God, that in the Hebrew, that's the word Elohim. You know, it's interesting that we just have that in our English Bibles, is the word God with a capital G. But that is a unique word because even though it appears to be singular, the meaning of Elohim is plural. Why would he be plural? Because God is one God, but he's made up of three personalities. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You see, this is the thing, folks. People discredit the Bible, but they've never studied the Bible. This book is phenomenal. It's airtight. The way it was written, the grammar, it couldn't have been done. I couldn't write one sentence properly today, hardly. You know that. I'm an old farm person, you know. We don't talk proper English on the farm. Sometimes we even speak foreign languages when things don't go right on the farm. Kay got what I was meaning there. When you smack your hand when you're driving a punch or a chisel on something, we say, ouch. Lord, forgive us. You know, sometimes people struggle. I don't particularly right now, but there could be times in my past. We all have a past too, don't we? Yeah. But anyway, yeah. But you know, the neat thing about that, Elohim is plural, yet in other places, and there's many names that are given for God, we also find the word Yahweh, and it is singular, because he is the singular God of Israel. So I could go into a big message, but we're out of time. But the fact is that this is the dynamics of the God of the Bible. He's awesome. He's the three in one. See, there's nothing like this in the human perception of things. So let me just ramble on and we'll quit after point one, okay? Save your sheets. If you love trees, save your sheets. If you're ambivalent about it, we'll print more for next week. If you believe God as he identifies himself in the beginning, you will believe the rest of scriptures, the basics. If you reject creation, biblical creation, you'll reject some of the other miracles that God's done. It's that simple. But his names further describe him. I'd love to do a study on names, but it shows the dynamics of God. You can do that. I've done it before. But he identifies himself as the three in one. Genesis 1:26. If someone's quicker than I am, go for it. Genesis 1:26. Maybe I wrote it down. And I did write it down. You know, when you have trifocals, you miss things sometimes. But the key in that passage is let us make, when God, Almighty God says, let us make man in our image. Us and our. He's talking about the three in one. Man, by the way, is created in three parts as well because we're made in God's image. Isn't that what that verse said, Jason? 1:26. God is three parts, and I'm going to close on this. He's the Father, he's the Son, he's the Holy Ghost. But human beings, and the technical term for this is trichotomy. Trichotomy. Tri meaning three. But God, you know, man is represented in that same form of God. Let me just quickly, God the Father, he represents the soul or the mind in a human. That's our soul. Jesus represents what? The body. God manifested in the body. You know, God in flesh. without sin. We'll have more on that as we go through this study. And that is our physical bodies. Every one of us here that can see each other today knows what? We have a body. Yep. And the Holy Spirit represents the Spirit of God. And in man, it's our spirit. Spirit is our personality. And let me tell you, every one of us in this room has a personality. It makes us who we are, right? Amen. That all came from God. Amen. Well, there's much, much more about this. But the fact of the matter is simply this. The existence and reality of the triune God of the Bible is a core doctrine that allows us to have the continuity of the rest of the things that God offers about himself. Today, I just hope that this has caused us all to consider just a little bit where we stand on this. You know, folks, we live in a day, evolution is where people really believe it's all at. I'm going to go through this later because the second point, which we'll not go to this morning, is the creation account. The creation account. But folks, evolution doesn't line up with anything. It doesn't even line up with common sense. You have to have more faith to believe the theory of evolution. By the way, every scientist or quote scientist you'll talk to will tell you a different number of years that the earth has been around. Did you know the Bible tells you pretty close to how many years it's been around? That's through these boring parts of scripture called genealogies. That gives you generations. And we know that we have a relatively young earth if we are to believe what the Bible says. Well, I'm going to go to my conclusion. Are you excited to hear the next 6 points? Amen. They're very critical. I wish we did have 3 hours to preach these, but we unfortunately don't today. Now, I got to find page 5. Well, of course, I only got through one of the doctrines today. But the 7 doctrines are the essential basics of the Christian faith and eternal life. The message of eternal life is found in the scriptures, which say that God loved mankind, man fell into sin. We'll look at all that. Those are core doctrines. And that he came and sent a substitutionary sacrifice for our sin. My prayer today is that everyone here has called on the name of Jesus Christ, have believed on his name, and been delivered into God's program for eternity. See? So important. If you doubt any or all, you are not headed for heaven and peace with God, no matter what anyone says. And that was why I had to start out like that today. You better be careful what you listen to and who you believe. It's so essential because you can be misled very easily. And folks, your response is important, as in yes or no to these doctrines. What I'm essentially saying today is if we doubt or disbelieve any of these 7 core doctrines, we are not headed to eternity in heaven, but we are headed to eternity in the presence of the false, crooked, perverse one named Satan and the lake of fire for all eternity. Anyway, I can just say this. I had intended this to be done today. Ha ha. Right? With me up here preaching. But I get excited about verses in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 9:15 tells us that we ought to be thankful for God's unspeakable, undescribable gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. These doctrines point to that today. And I also love 1 Corinthians 15:57, which says, "But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." My friends, that's the winning team. You've seen those bumper stickers around here years ago. We know who wins. It's the Lord Jesus. But I'll tell you what, if you'll receive him into your life today, if you'll put your faith and trust in him and look at these core doctrines that you have on your sheet, you've got enough there just to get started, he'll deliver you. And you'll become a child of God, a born-again believer, and possess the third person of God, the third personality, the Holy Spirit of God, and folks, your life will never be the same. I pray today, if you're excited about your future, that you'll be excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd love to answer anything I can. I don't have every answer, but the Bible does. But I'll just say this, folks. Every day is a precious commodity. If you're here today and you're wondering about these things, today's to go for the answers. Don't tempt time, folks. Time is not on our side, but God's grace is yet today. Maybe there's some here that truly are born again. You've accepted these key core doctrines, but you're struggling in your faith today. Let me tell you, Jesus can help you today. He wants that to be vibrant. Folks, there's all kinds of reasons. You know them as well as I do. And this is a great time that we're able to meet together today. God's presence is with us. Amen. Amen. And He's here for you today. Come to Him today, I pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals, or it's on the screen. 705. Please come back again, too, to hear the rest of these. It may take us a couple of more weeks. But you know what? We need to take the time to investigate some of these things. I thank God for this church that still at least will allow me to try to preach the truth. I mean, most of the churches today are what are called churches. You better be careful. But check it out. But here the thing is, folks. Are you taking the name of Jesus with you today? Is He a part of your life? Not just superficially, but do you have the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost within you today because you've been bought by the blood of Christ? Folks, let me tell you what. If we deny the power of the Holy Ghost, our lives are going to be mundane. But if you'll let the Spirit lead you through the Word, you're going to have excitement. If there's anyone, you know, we hear this all the time. I'm bored. I've seen kids. Are you bored today? Jesus has the answer. You can leave this place different today if you go to the Lord. Take the name of Jesus with you. You come forward today if you're led. You can receive Christ. You can deal with Him in your seat. But I'll tell you what, I've told you many times, there's a reason I'm up here every Sunday, and it's not because I'm the preacher. It's because I need to be. If you need Him too, come and join me. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. Hi, Jesus.
I need your advice one.
Okay. I'll be with you here in a minute. Take it then wherever you go, precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. I tell you what, we're going to sing that refrain. Maybe there's someone else this morning that would like to come up. I'd love to visit with you today. There's people here at Fruitland that are ready and willing to help you from the Word of God in any situation you find yourself today. Precious name, oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Dean, take us home with prayer, please.
Father, we're thankful today for another opportunity to come and listen to your word and get together and reflect on our walk and our faith and how we're about to go about our business and what things that people are getting misled about across our earth and across our nation. Lord, we hope that we can be a good testimony for you and that we can shine. And Lord, we're just thankful for the opportunity again. And even though our nation is not very good in many ways, we still get the opportunity publicly and without fear of the military coming in and taking us away or destroying our building or whatever. Lord, we're just thankful. We ask this in Jesus' name.